Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. It's a Motown-esque, Motown-ish Thursday edition of the Triple Option with RBKD. You also can hit us up via Twitter. I'm at Rod Babers in the Twitterverse. Kevin Dunn at KevinDunn01. And BK, the real MVP, is at Brad Keltner in the Twitterverse. You also can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. You can watch it on the Twitch stream. You go to hornfm.com and you can tap into the Twitch stream there. And then you can watch the Triple Option with RBKD. All right, gentlemen, on Monday, Texas Longhorns wide receiver commit Xavier Worthy received his acceptance into the university, but yesterday he was actually officially released from the national letter of intent that he signed with the Michigan Wolverines last December. So now he is official. And Xavier Worthy is now a Longhorn, the wide receiver, Xavier Worthy. Speedy wide receiver. A lot of people are saying that. That is, and he's around, I mean.
He's light in the ass.
Yeah, he's 6'1", 160, 165.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's really light. But you know what? Devontae Smith.
Bingo.
Was, yeah, I mean, historically light for a first-round wide receiver. But I believe that's, I believe he went to the NFL. It's like 165.
I think even below that. So apparently he weighed 6 pounds less on a different weigh-in. So he had something in his pockets on that first one.
Yeah, he should have went to go see the people Kyler Murray went to
Right,
see,
exactly. To grow, you can make him taller. You can make me heavier.
Exactly. Well, anybody should be able to get heavier. Just eat some just eat some fried chicken or something. What
don't
you
worry, Xavier. It's coming.
Don't you wish you had that problem? Like, Xavier, man, if you gain 5 to 10 pounds, you know, people will stop asking questions about your weight.
Yes.
All they do is eat some burgers and he'd have been fine. He's like, no. Take me as who I am.
It's harder than it looks, gentlemen.
Gaining? Oh, yeah, that's true. You are skinny.
Yeah. I've tried various times over the course of my life to put on weight, more for muscle than for fat, and my metabolism just won't allow for it to happen.
Yeah, it's a good problem.
And
to
I
have.
Can't eat enough. Like, I know eating, consuming calories is how you put on weight, and my body just rejects it like the plague.
Oh, you eat like a horse. I've eaten with you, and it didn't go anywhere.
I mean, he eats fast food, too.
Right,
eating,
you
like,
eat
healthy
crap.
Food.
Yeah, but I don't doesn't eat, matter. Like, I can't eat that many meals. If I eat, like, a bunch of fast food, then I'm not eating for a while again. Like, I mean, they tell you, you hear about athletes who put on a lot of weight in a short amount of time, and they'll tell you they eat, like, 6 meals a day, and they're consuming, like, 6,000 calories at minimum a day. And I've tried with, like, shakes and stuff over the years, and I just like, dude, I'm on the pot all the time, or I'm throwing it up all the time.
It's not good.
My body just
it's
rejects
not healthy.
It. So it's not always easy. I'm sure Devontae Smith has tried a number of times over his life, and I'm sure he'll keep hearing as he transitions to the NFL that he needs to put on weight. But for some guys, it's just not as easy as others.
He doesn't need to put on weight, though. Let's be honest.
If he plays like he did last year, no, he does.
He doesn't, yeah, actually. Well, some guys,
he's got good play strength.
He whatever it is, he's different. I know they're outliers in every facet of society. He's an outlier.
Yeah.
But I know most of the time guys with his dimensions and that frame, they don't have success at the NFL level. I get it. I'm an analytics guy. I'm all about predictive analytics, but he's different. Watching the film on him, it's easy to see. Yeah, he ain't like the rest of the 160-pound receivers that went into the league.
No, he's not. And he's also coming into the league in the perfect time, because I don't touch him 20, 25 years ago.
That's a great point.
Because you could touch him.
Now you can't get close. You can't breathe on him.
Yeah, right.
Too close to him. They're going to call that every time. This guy, so 6'1", 160. I'm sure he'll put on maybe 5 pounds, but that won't be a big deal. He's a track star out of Fresno Central. He excelled in 100, 200, and the long jump. He posted a personal best of 10.55 in 100 meters as a sophomore.
Yep.
So, I mean, the assumption would be he would get even faster in the track times as a junior and a senior. He didn't, like other California prospects, he wasn't able to play fall football as a senior in 2019. So, that's about it.
Yeah. I saw a comp to DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm. And you talk about one of those guys who's had a great NFL career despite being undersized. I think DeSean Jackson is listed in the 170s, so maybe not as slight of frame as Devontae Smith or Xavier Worthy, but I'm sure that dude's heard so many times over the course of his life that he needs to put on weight to be successful, and he's had a pretty damn successful career in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, when he obviously staying healthy is going to be a big part of it, but I'm excited about Worthy. I think I'm hoping this is a guy that can come in, and one of the things that Sark did so well with Devontae Smith, and I understand this guy's not Devontae Smith, but there are similarities, is hiding him and putting him in spots where you can't get your hands on him, and you free him up with good releases. So I'm hoping he can come in and do something this year.
This year? What are your expectations for Xavier Worthy this year as a true freshman, non-early enrollee who's not going to get to campus until the fall?
I mean, the expectations are actually, I'm not going to put any on him. So if he redshirts, he redshirts, right? And hopefully that means that the receiving core is better than we think and that those top-line guys or starters really stay healthy. But it would be nice. I mean, he's one of those guys. Look, we didn't think Troy O'Meary heading into last camp was going to be talked about the way he was. Yeah. Different body types, different guys. I get that, but if he's ready to come in and go, I think there's a spot for him.
It depends, I agree with KD, on the progression and development of those wide receivers and their durability.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, more than anything.
Right.
Their ability to stay healthy and all those guys. Troy O'Meary, Jordan Whittington, Joshua Moore, and Jake Smith have all had injury issues. So, yeah, I hope that he doesn't have to be, you know, thrown into the fire like that as a young player, but I could see a situation where Texas is playing a lot of young wide receivers, and we all know there's a precipitous drop in terms of the overall talent of those guys I just mentioned, and then the rest of the wide receivers who are unproven commodities at best. So he's a type of receiver that Sark covets because Sark loves movement routes, as he calls them. Where receivers are on the move constantly, doesn't like any stop routes. He claims that he hates to call stop routes when defenses force him to call any types of curls or hitches or things of that nature, because he says his speedy wide receivers then are the same speed as the slow defensive backs and linebackers that are he's asking to cover them. So he wants his guys constantly on the move, stressing opposing defensive backfields. I like that, but you got to have fast wide receivers to really be able to threaten every dimension of the field with those long rainbow crossers, those mesh concepts, those crossing routes. So he is the ideal Sark receiver. And yeah, like Katie said, he'll have more than enough cheat codes built within the framework of the offense to get guys like that free and to give them freer releases than Tom Herman was able to do.
It would be a huge problem if Texas is relying on Xavier Worthy this fall.
Yeah, it would be.
Now, it's always good when you have a true freshman come in and make an immediate impact, and maybe Xavier Worthy is one of those transcendent type of talents. Top 10 receiver in the country for the class of 2021, the number 4 overall prospect in the state of California in this year's recruiting cycle. So the guy's good, a high 4-star recruit, but you do not ever want to be relying on a true freshman to be the savior of your offense.
Yeah.
And that would only happen if guys get hurt. You talk about that durability issue. Like, the hope is Xavier Worthy can redshirt. Once again, you can still play 4 games and redshirt. And if he can't redshirt, like, maybe he's good enough to where he has to see the field, the hope is he's not a starter for you or forced into the fire way earlier than he should be. That would be worst-case scenario, because that means you probably have multiple injuries to your top 4 wide receivers. Mm-hmm. Because I think Xavier Worthy's going to have an uphill battle to get some playing time on this depth chart just because he wasn't here for the spring, and he's going up against some guys who have already been here for a couple of years. But, yeah, for that guy to see the field significantly and for him to be relied upon heavily this year, that means that something happened to a combination of Whittington, Smith, Moore, and O'Meary, and that would spell trouble for this offense.
Yeah.
And this football team.
No doubt. Even though we know the identity of the offense is going to be Bijan Robinson and really the running back room, because that's kind of a strength. I agree. We just need that big four to stay relatively healthy. I know everybody playing all 12 games, you know, you never really get that. But if you can just get a Jordan Whittington to give you, you know, 8 to 10 games healthy and ready to go, same thing for all those wide receivers, I think you're good. The problem with those guys, they've had almost season-ending injuries, and injuries where they had to miss multiple games at a time. Yeah. You can't have that.
I'm trying to think of like a bet payoff that I could create. If all 4 of those wide receivers stay healthy for all 12 games this year,
wow,
I'll do something. I did say before last basketball season, if Texas won the regular season Big 12 title, I would dye my hair black.
Oh, man, you missed that?
Yeah.
Tournament didn't count.
No.
So now maybe we can go back to that well, or maybe we can do something else.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to sacrifice for the betterment of the Texas football program. It's the type of guy that I am.
Yeah. Right now, I think, I don't know, I'm feeling good about it, but like I said, it's fragile.
So how,
it's a fragile situation.
How good, like, we know Bijan Robinson's the best player on this team. We know he's going to be the focal point of the offense, like you just said, Rod B. I mean, how good does this passing offense need to be for Texas to get to Arlington at the end of the year? Like, we know the rushing game is going to be the strength of this offense. We saw that in the spring game. We saw it at the end of last year, and Sark loves utilizing the running back. But you have to have some semblance of a passing game to be a legit contender in the Big 12. Like, how good do these receivers, and obviously the new guy at quarterback, how effective do they have to be for Texas to find their way into the conference championship game in December?
Oh, that is really good. I'm going to go with, I'm trying to think about the Big 12 right now. It would have to, in my opinion, be the second best passing attack in the Big 12 behind Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma will clearly have the best passing attack in the Big 12. And, you know, I don't know if they will, but they, if they can, I think they can do that. But if they do, then they got a shot. Because that would mean that they're being, they're pretty prolific in the Big 12 because of these high-powered offense, these hybrid spread schemes. Usually if you're second in the Big 12 in passing offense, you're probably somewhere in the top 15, top 20.
Yeah,
personally.
In the country.
In the country.
Yeah, and if you're number two, that means you're better than Iowa State, right?
Yep.
That seems to be the team Texas is competing against.
And Iowa State's weird about that, though. You know what I mean? I don't, in terms of what they prioritize, right?
Yeah.
They're going to run the ball with Breece Hall. Last year, they were terrible at explosive pass plays. They just didn't get the ball down the field. They'll have some better wide receivers, Tariq Milton and Xavier Hutchinson from last year. The tight ends, but the tight ends work the middle of the field, the short to intermediate pass. You're right. I don't know what to think of their pass. I don't know if it's going to transform this year and get more, be more mature, deep downfield passing game.
I think if this passing offense is the second best in the league, Texas is going to be in Arlington.
Okay.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because I think Texas's running game will be comparable, if not better, than Iowa State's. And that's saying a lot. Breece Hall was the Big 12 player of the year last year. He's awesome.
They're the country in rushing.
They get most of their offensive line back. The tight ends, two of the three big tight ends are back. That rushing attack is still going to be very formidable. But, you know, I expect Bijan and Rojo to be really, really effective. And I think Sark's going to find ways to utilize those guys and make sure this ground game is really, really good. So you kind of look at the other aspect of your offense. If the passing attack for Texas is second best in the league, then, KD, I think they've got a shot to win that game in Ames and also find their way at Jerry World.
Yeah, no, I'm look, they've got a realistic shot for that. I wouldn't give them that realistic of a shot to win the Big 12, but if you get in that game, then obviously you got a chance. One thing with Worthy that I don't, you know, he could catch 15, 20 balls and still be an impact guy, or someone as like a fourth, fifth receiver. You scheme him up in games like that if you have a matchup, and that's where really I've got a lot of faith in Sark, that it may not be every game, but and so that's where my expectations just aren't real high with him, but long term they are, but I think he's the type of talent where maybe he could scheme him up a little bit this year.
Meritocracy.
That too.
Tom Herman talked about
guy.
It. He didn't actually practice it, but Steve Sarkisian, by all accounts, and I think we saw it in the spring game, like, hey, just because you've been on campus for a couple of years, just because you've started here in the past, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be the guy moving forward.
Right.
So you would think Xavier Worthy would have a chance to get those 15 to 20 catches and find his way on the field this year.
This is all about Joshua Moore, in my opinion. Just looking at the overall roster and looking at that position room at wide receiver. Because I think Jordan Whittington has things that are unique in his skill set that set him apart, right? You can use him in part of the running game, in that wing back role I talked about. You have more hybridism built within his skill set. For Jake Smith, I think Jake Smith is a better route runner than Joshua Moore, and probably better than maybe Troy O'Meara just right now because it's early. And I haven't watched Jordan Whittington that much, but in the spring game, looked like he has gotten better as a route runner, as a wide receiver, but he's still raw because people just ask him to go out there and be a football player.
Yeah.
Troy O'Meara's size and freakish dimensions set him apart. You just want him as a part of your weaponry if you're an offensive play caller. So Sark's going to just love having that guy to work with and put him in different situations, bunch formation, stuff like that. If you're Joshua Moore and you're looking at Xavier Worthy and Joshua Moore, they're very similar. Like they're I'm not saying they're the same guy, but they're very similar.
Yeah.
And if Joshua Moore is dropping touchdown passes, he did in the spring game, and then you see Xavier Worthy start making some plays, a young guy, I could easily see the coaches to decide, you know what, let's go with the younger guy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play the young guy. Let's play the younger guy more. He's younger, more of an investment. If he's already making as many plays as Joshua Moore is and giving us what Joshua Moore is, and Joshua Moore is a junior? I don't know what he is. I can't remember.
I know. I'm so confused with all of it. I usually was all over
exactly.
that.
This is year four for Joshua Moore.
But then you don't
which
know.
Which means he's a redshirt freshman.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Football. I think
with that's the new how rules.
It works. Yeah. It means he's got like 6 years of eligibility left.
But I think because they offer you the similar things offensively, I think Joshua Moore, the guy's got to watch his back with where they're coming
in. I think you're right. It feels to me like Joshua Moore is the weak link of that top tier of wide receivers. And that's weird to say because he had more catches, more yards, and more touchdowns than anybody on the Texas roster last year. But, I mean, Whittington and Smith, we know those dudes are really, really talented. Troy O'Meary, it's all hype at this point. But, man, I mean, if that guy has a Colin Johnson-type catch radius with just freak athleticism on the side, then you're not taking that dude off the field. So, yeah, Joshua Moore, I like that Xavier Worthy comparison, too. Joshua Moore, also right around 6 foot. And 160, 170, right around that same body type,
Works was great in the slot last year, right? When they put him in the slot in the Oklahoma game, he was awesome to win the game against Oklahoma State.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They put him in the slot late, and he was great. Yeah, so he can scheme him open. I bet Xavier Worthy, you can scheme him open too right now. So I think that's going to be the competitive kind of factor to watch in the wide receiver room.
Man, I am excited to see what type of receivers Sark is going to recruit. I mean, Texas got four wide receivers. Now that Xavier Worthy's officially in the mix, four wide receivers in the class of 2021, but those were mainly Herman guys.
Yeah. Right?
Guys who committed to Tom Herman and then stayed once Steve Sarkisian took the job.
Probably pretty excited with the change.
But man, I mean, with what Sark was able to do with the receivers at Alabama, if he shows any semblance of that with this offense this year, if these receivers could be effective, then watch out. Yep. We're excited about quarterback recruiting, but wide receiver recruiting could be just as good. All right, Rod B., if you're looking for something really good for your significant other.
Oh, I got an idea. How about Diamonds Direct? They always hook me up. Matter of fact, I've gone back time and time again because of the Diamonds Direct difference. Maybe it's the service for you. The customer service there is unbelievable. I went there for an engagement ring. I was a little nervous. I think everybody's a little nervous about popping the question. But, of course, about making that kind of purchase, they walked me through every step of the process. Gave me a thorough education in the diamond industry. But what I loved most about Diamonds Direct, even more than the great inventory, the exclusive inventory they have, it's like 10 to 15 different jewelry stores in Warren, even more than the customer service that I talk about, and that great diamond education that they gave me free of charge, was the low prices, guys. They cut out the middleman, so they offer the low prices that nobody else can. Trust me on that. And they encourage you to go elsewhere and go compare shop, all right? Go compare their prices to other prices. Go compare their inventory to other inventory, and there is no comparison. I can tell you that right now. I've already done the research. That's why I went back for the wedding bands to Diamonds Direct. I went back for the anniversary gift, and I'll go back time and time again, and you should too. And once you discover that Diamonds Direct difference, I guarantee you, you'll become a true believer like me. So go to DiamondsDirect.com, and you can check out their exclusive inventory. You also can get an online appointment there. You also can get an online consultation there as well, but I would recommend you go there and visit them. They're right there in the Domain next to Dick's Sporting Goods. It's DiamondsDirect.com. Go there and discover the Diamonds Direct difference for yourself.
All right, guys. One and done, Tom. Let's get back into the NFL draft. We're going to get back to the Cowboys and Texans coming up at 5 and also get into some good revenge games later on in the 5 o'clock hour. But just want to go week by week because there are some sexy matchups and some multiple really good matchups in a bunch of those weeks.
I like that 5-star recruit in Kentucky. He's been here, and he's going to stay here. It's one-and-done time. Here's Kevin Dunn.
Let's go one-and-done time, the most popular sport in America. It's not even close. That would be football, and the NFL is the king of that. College football does pretty damn well as well, and then you've got those two things marrying, which is why the NFL draft has turned into the couple-month-long show that it is. But the schedule's always fun, too, especially right around now when they release that stuff and you start to look at some of the matchups. So let's do that. Let's start in week one. I may skip around here a little bit. We talked about Cowboys at the Buccaneers, and that's got to be right up there, right? I mean, just because of those two brand names that and obviously our affiliation with them down here in Texas, that'll be cool to see, but I'm not sure how competitive it'll be. The one that really stood out to me, there's actually a couple also in that week. Rod, how about Browns at Chiefs?
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm really curious in terms of just a competitive game to see where the Browns are this year. They looked a lot better coached. It looked like Baker was in a much better spot. They've loaded up that team with talent. Let's see how legit they are.
Yeah, and they gave the Chiefs a little run in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
So got a little bit of a revenge factor thrown in the mix there. And a lot of people are picking the Browns to make a Super Bowl run this year. It sounds crazy to me, but now when you look at the roster and how talented it is, and they loaded up on more talent in the offseason and in the draft, not a lot of holes on that roster. Usually you can look at a roster and go, oh, man, this is a good team, but the Kim Kardashian, Nicki Minaj, Serena Williams size, Cardi B size, but that secondary, man, look at the wide receiving core. I don't know about it. Oh, I don't know about this.
Line.
I mean, give me that, whatever that is for the Browns. Give me their big butt.
Yeah, exactly.
Ain't no big butt
there.
There's
not a big butt.
It's a nice butt, but it ain't a big butt. Bacon Mayfield's the big butt?
Kind of one of those tiny asses.
BK says it's Bacon Mayfield.
I think Bacon Mayfield is the biggest question about the Cleveland Browns.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that.
Some weeks he's looked great. Some weeks he's looked terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's the big butt, huh?
And what, he's been in the league for 3 years?
Yeah.
His rookie year was great. His second year was bad. His third year was great. Is he going to be one of those odd year guys? Was only good,
right?
On the odd years.
Who else is in the odd year guy?
The San Francisco Giants
exactly.
Baseball team,
even right?
Won the World Series in 2010, 2012, and 2014.
There you go.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And they missed the playoffs in 09, 11, 13, and 15.
Right.
Okay. All right.
So I guess that would make Baker an even year guy.
Yeah.
Odd in terms of his length in the NFL, but even in terms of calendar year.
Kevin Stefanski, you don't think he has made
He's definitely made him better.
BK's right. That's the hope, is that Kevin Stefanski is he's basically helping him develop now into a real true franchise quarterback.
But for a lot of quarterbacks that don't have this, we're going to find out if Baker is that guy or not. Because the team, like you said, Rod, they're set up almost everywhere.
Maybe they can get Aaron Rodgers. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'd go to the Browns. That sounds crazy. But he could win immediately with the Browns.
He could win a Super Bowl.
He'd win a Super Bowl almost, right? That year, I think he might win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think he absolutely could.
That sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
The Browns are pretty complete outside of quarterback, which we know is so big.
They've just been so bad for my entire
life. I know. It's hard
to
fathom.
That'd be crazy.
Like, you guys in the late 90s, y'all got to see them compete and make it all the way to the AFC Championship game. You've at least seen them be relevant enough to where, hey, it's not that far-fetched if they make a Super Bowl run. For me, it's always been, dude, there's... I mean, if they make the playoffs, that's far-fetched. Now we're talking about them winning games in the playoffs.
And they kind of had that, just bad luck feel to them in the late 80s. Those are the best Browns teams I've seen.
Yeah.
Bernie Kosar, but there's always something that happened. And obviously Cleveland fans will let you know about it. All right, let's get to week two. This team could be on a lot of these, a lot of different weeks because they're so good. That's the Chiefs at the Ravens. I think that one stands out the most. Before we get to some of the other games in week two, are you guys, we talk about with Baker, are you sold, BK, on Lamar Jackson and kind of what he's going to do? Because he regressed, and I think this is a huge year for him moving forward.
Yeah, needs to be a little bit more consistent as a passer, but I think he'll figure it out. I'm sold on Lamar Jackson as being one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. But look, for the Ravens to win the Super Bowl, he's got to get there.
Yeah.
He shut some people up last year by winning a playoff game, but now that he's gotten that monkey off his back, he's got to find a way to make a deep playoff run.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the next step for Lamar Jackson. It's crazy, and it seems unfair to say that about a quarterback who's been in the league for, 3 years? But he's raised the bar. He's raised the expectations on himself by the way that he's played. So now, Rodby, he's expected to be really, really good and take that next step.
Yeah, I think he actually made some strides last year. They just have to start building that passing game around him, and they got to get him weapons that can separate on their own, that can win on the outside. You're going to put 8 guys in the box to stop that running game usually.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure the guys can win on the outside. They haven't been doing that consistently enough.
No, I'm with you on
and
that.
And he's part of that, too.
But he is part of that.
He's part of it, too.
You know, he's got to get more accurate down the field. And if he doesn't, then he's not going to be the guy.
Then you got to find big targets then. If he's not that accurate, then go get him big catch radius guys. Yep. That's what you need to draft for him. You can recruit him, too, if you want to.
You can recruit him, yeah, exactly. You can do both those things. And the other matchup that stood out to me was Bills at Dolphins, because the Bills have been pretty damn good, and I feel like the Dolphins are moving in the right direction, but once again, like I guess we just talked about with the last two teams, do they have the right quarterback?
Yeah, it looks like it right now. I think Josh Allen...
I'm talking Dolphins there, sorry.
Oh, you're talking about Tua? Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, not sure about Tua.
Right, but I think the Bills are going to be good.
The Bills are going to be good. Tua is a question mark. There are some questions. He was benched twice last year in certain situations, so we'll see if they have more faith in him now. That defense is the real deal, though.
Yeah.
They're top five, in my opinion.
Dude, Tua was so mishandled last year by Miami.
Agreed.
I mean, they got off to a really good start. They were winning games with Fitzpatrick. Then they just randomly decided to make the move, and half the locker room was pissed. Like, what? We're winning games. We have a playoff spot locked down now, and you're going to start this rookie quarterback? Like, what the hell? And then anytime Tua would slightly screw up, they'd send his ass to the bench.
Yeah.
Like... some guys can get over that, and look, if Tua's legit, he's going to be able to get over that. But, man, that's stunting your young quarterback's development doing stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, jury, without a doubt, is still out on that guy.
That's mismanagement. I agree with you.
Week three, lots of people are looking at Colts at the Titans, and I understand that. But the one that I'm just really curious and excited about, and a lot of this has to do with, one, I like this team or I like the coach. You guys probably know where I'm going with this. But now you bring in Matt Stafford. How about the Bucs, defending champs at the Rams? I really want to see what he does with Stafford, and also how complete that team is, because they've had their own issues, specifically with the offensive line the last couple of years.
No team in the NFL has had more coaching turnover than the Rams in the last 4 years.
It's, I believe,
mostly
it.
A credit to Sean McVay, because everybody just loves
him.
And they start hiring all of his assistants. But he lost the defensive coordinator, Staley. So I do wonder. That was a top five defense last year. Legit. I mean, number one scoring defense, I think, in the league, actually. So I wonder if that defense is going to be as dominant, but maybe they won't have to be because the offense will be that much better. There was a belief in the NFL that Jared Goff was holding Sean McVay back. And if that is indeed true,
that is
a scary thought.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, because he still thrived.
Yeah.
KD, are the Rams the biggest threat to the Bucs in the NFC this year?
I'm going to say yes. I mean, I'm not going to say the Niners. And obviously, with what's going on in Green Bay, and you've got Drew Brees gone, I mean, there's kind of some moving parts there. I'm going to say yes, but I just want to see what they look like. And that's why I think I circled them on every single game or every single week here. And I'm like, well, I can't hit all of them here. And what it proves to me is I just really want to see what Stafford does with McVay and also how complete that team is. Week four is the obvious one. It's Buccaneers at the Patriots. Oh. And we're going to get into that probably a little bit later on. But I'm not sure how great the Patriots are going to be. Here's one that is kind of a little bit of a curveball. How about Browns at the Vikings? How good are the Vikings going to be?
We don't know.
I don't know.
That's one of those things.
That could be a great matchup.
Because a couple of years ago, I mean, that's a playoff team. Kirk Cousins, as much as everybody hates on Kirk Cousins, he's usually one of the better starting quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah.
I love Dalvin Cook. I think Dalvin Cook is special. So, I'm with you. I don't really know what to think of them. I don't know if they're going to be good or not. They could be bad, but they could also end up being really competitive.
Week five, Bills at the Chiefs. We're going to find out just how good those Bills are. Are you guys sold on the Chiefs offensive line that they, I mean, because, man, they completely replaced everyone.
Yep.
Do you guys think that's going to mesh and that they're going to be kind of back to where they are protecting him?
Yeah. They might be better.
They're going to be good.
Maybe better. Wow.
They might be better. I'm serious.
Yeah. And, I mean, that offensive line was really good last year. Everybody just got hurt.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've got a couple of guys coming back, but they brought in some upgrades, both through free agency and through the draft. And they got the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Duvernay-Tardif back, and that guy's very, very good. So, yeah, I think they'll be all right up front.
Week six is not actually the best week. You've got Chargers at the Ravens, Dolphins at the Jaguars, Cardinals at the Browns, Bills at the Titans, Chiefs at the football team.
They're all football teams.
Yeah, what do you mean, the football team?
I know. They got to get rid of that bit. They got to find something soon. But the one that actually stood out the most to me was Seahawks at the Steelers. Because you know, I don't know where the hell Seattle's going to be, but Russell will be back. So that's just been a weird organization and team to follow the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were built with their secondary and built with their defense, and then that got depleted. And then Russell Wilson, actually, last year, I know a lot of people were defending him, and I think rightfully so, for how they were mismanaging his play. And, Rod, you were one of them, but he didn't play very well down the stretch last year.
He didn't. They got him a new offensive coordinator now, and I think they'll be a little bit more open to spreading things out, because now they got the wide receivers with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Remember there were times DK Metcalf was upset last year, too.
Yeah.
In the games, well, like most diva wide receivers. But you're getting complaints from the wide receiver, your number one wideout, getting complaints from their quarterback about the identity of the offense. I think they'll open things up. Remember, they were letting Russ cook early on in the year, and then that kind of blew up in their face because Russ wasn't necessarily being a good chef at times.
Yeah, that's the close but no cigar club, gentlemen.
Yeah, that's what it feels like.
With both of those teams, right? The Seahawks and Steelers, they're always in the playoffs, but lately they haven't been able to get over the hump, and they're tweaking and twisting and trying to find that move that's going to get them back to Super Bowl contention.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Week 7. Chiefs at the Titans is the one that stood out to me. I think we're going to get into probably a little bit later. Lions at the Rams. But Chiefs at the Titans. We've already talked about the Chiefs. We all think they're going to be really damn good and at the top of the class in football. But the Titans are one of those teams, because of how they play, that could be a matchup type game, Rod, to where they're physical. You know what they're going to try and do with the Chiefs. They're going to try and shove it down their throat.
Yeah, they'll try to get physical with the Chiefs. And that's something that's been working well for the Titans, right, with Derrick Henry and kind of that ground and pound philosophy. And they usually have the defense to complement it. The problem is when the defense doesn't hold up, that ground and pound philosophy blows up in their face because they have to end up in a shootout.
Yeah.
And that's what they're hoping. And now don't forget, the Titans, we wonder if they'll be the same offense, guys. They lost Arthur Smith.
Yep.
Who's the guy that was calling the plays for them. He's now the head coach of the Falcons. Good and point. I wonder how much of an impact that's going to have on them.
All right, so we're probably going to wrap this around Week 8. We can save the rest for maybe tomorrow or next week. But Week 8, 49ers at the Bears. You laugh a little bit. Guys, the Bears are another one of those teams.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty complete team all the way around.
Yes, it is.
Will they have good quarterback play? And I'm asking the same thing about my 49ers. That could be a Jimmy G, Andy Dalton type matchup, and whoever. Yeah. I know. But then also you've got Trey Lance and Justin Fields.
Yeah, give me that.
Who people are going to be screaming for. That's kind of why I like that matchup.
No one's going to give a rat's ass about that game if it's Jimmy G versus the Red Rifle. But if you've got the two first-round quarterbacks going neck and neck, then I'm going to be all about that. But that's Week 8, you said?
That's Week 8.
Yeah, I mean, both teams. Curious.
So, where are you there?
Because I think Jimmy G is going to start for the Niners.
You will.
And I think Andy Dalton's going to start Week 1 for the Bears. The question is, by the midway point in the season, do those coaches make the moves to their future quarterbacks?
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking. If they're at that point, whether one of those teams or both, my guess is one will have made the move. I'll be interested if both do, because that'll be must-see TV if that's the case. Now, if it's Jimmy G and the Red Rifle, you're right.
As a Niners guy, when do you think Kyle Shanahan's going to move from Jimmy G to Trey Lance? Does it happen mid-season? Does it happen next season? When do you think he makes the call?
I think ideally it happens next season. My guess, it'll be late in this season.
Mm. Does that mean the Niners are out of the playoff mix?
Could be. Okay. Like I'm high on the team, but I'm not high with the moves they made. I didn't like their draft in general. And I'm going to trust your boy, Rod, because I got a lot of trust in Chano, and I hope he proves me wrong. He's that good of a coach. But the Trey Lance thing, it just feels like they're going to need some time with him.
Yeah, I think they might need a little time. I think they start off actually pretty good, their schedule. It's not tough from the start. But I think, yes, the schedule,
it heats up.
As it gets a little bit tougher, I think Shano may have some pressure. Now, you start off with at Detroit, at Philly, versus Green Bay. But we don't know if Aaron Rodgers is going to be starting or not.
So Green Bay was one of those I was going to mention a lot here. But we have no idea right now.
Yeah.
It's incomplete.
And then you're versus Seattle and Arizona. And if Arizona's tough, that makes that a tough stretch. If Aaron Rodgers is playing and Arizona is good, that's a tough stretch. But right now, it doesn't look as tough if Aaron Rodgers isn't playing.
No. All right, there's your first 8 weeks of the NFL. Some good matchups, and as we just pointed out and illustrated, some matchups that we have no idea what they're going to be in May, but could Could end up being good TV.
There is one and done on the triple option with RBKD. We'll turn our attention to the Dallas Cowboys and Houston Texans schedule at the top of the 5 o'clock hour. But coming up next on the Horns Afternoon Drive program, we'll have Off the Record. Why are gas stations so damn packed right now? We'll try to explain it. It's next.
DD Mega Doo-Doo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a brain man comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. F***ing thing sucks.
Off the Record time here on the Triple Option with RBKD alongside Rod Babers and Kevin Dunn. I am BK Brad Kellner. Hope everyone's having a great Thursday. We appreciate y'all spending some or all of your Thursday afternoon with us. Coming up in about 13 minutes, we'll get back into the NFL's schedule release and dive into the 2021 regular season schedules for the Dallas Cowboys and Houston Texans. But right now, gentlemen, we're talking gas. No, not that gas.
I knew you were going there.
We're talking gasoline. Have you guys tried to fill up at any point over the last couple of days?
No.
No.
Have you guys paid any attention to gas stations while driving by over the last couple of days?
Yeah, they've gone up like 11 cents or something crazy.
Right. I mean, I know.
In the couple of weeks or something.
Price has definitely been going up, and it got just...
It's because of the hack. Is this because of the hack on the East Coast that is now having a domino effect?
Yep.
It is.
Okay.
And there are gas shortages all throughout the southeastern United States. Yeah. Now, thankfully, Texas is okay in terms of having gas. There are zero gas stations that don't have fuel in the state of Texas,
yeah,
at least as of this morning. But still, people in Austin, even though the state of Texas is perfectly fine, every gas station is packed right now.
Yeah, because they're watching one of their three channels, the Echo Chamber, that's telling them to freak out.
Yeah. So to your point, Rod, gas prices across the country have risen 8 cents over the past 7 days.
Wow.
They've gone up more than that over the past couple of weeks.
Crazy.
But within the last week, yeah, on average.
That's crazy. That's unbelievable.
8 cents. And yes, the average.
It's over a cent a day.
Gas price in the U.S. right now is $3.02. For a gallon of gas.
God, think about how cheap they were a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the cheapest they've been
relatively
in my lifetime.
Cheap, yeah.
And gas prices have fluctuated so much over my years of life on this planet. Like, I remember growing
up. It's multifactorial.
I remember my parents freaking out when gas first got to $2 a gallon.
Yeah.
And people were like, dude, if gas gets that expensive, I'll never drive a car again.
Yeah, you will.
I can't pay $2 a gallon for gas. And then it got to like $3.50 at one point here. I mean, in California, it's like $5 all the time for a gallon of gas. But in Texas, it got to like $3.50. Mm-hmm. And then it got all the way down back to like the $1.50, $1.60 range. And now we're kind of back in the twos again. And we've got this issue. It fluctuates all the time. And yeah, it's a pretty crazy story what's going on with this gas shortage and this
freaking
increase in gas prices. Colonial Pipeline operates the biggest oil pipeline in the country. They had to halt their operations a week ago after it was hit by a crippling cyber attack believed to be orchestrated by a Russia-based criminal group. Is that Putin? Putin? What's
Putin.
That guy's
Putin.
Name?
Putin.
Putin. Okay. Putin is that guy's name.
There's been so much misinformation about Russia and who's involved with Russia over the last 3 or 4 years that it's funny. Like, I still don't even buy that it's Russia. It doesn't shock me with what Putin and what they do. And usually the Kremlin okays that stuff, even if it's not connected to the government.
The gremlins and the gizmos?
The gremlins.
Is that
there you
what
go.
You're talking about?
There you go.
What is that even from? Why do I know that? Is that a thing?
Yeah. It was the Gremlins. The movie.
That was a movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Love that movie.
Did you love that movie?
I love the Gremlins.
Yeah.
Something me. Just like 80s.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's a little like Furby looking thing.
I had that little thing.
Those were Mogwais, right?
Who now?
The Mogwai?
No, they turn because it turns
but the
into
Mogwai
something, right?
Turns into
are you saying
a gremlin.
Faux gras, like the food thing?
No, I thought it was. Wasn't it a Mogwai? Did I get it right?
You probably did. I totally forgot what they were called. I just remember
I think they were called
that they turned into something.
They turned into a gremlin when they ate after midnight or when they came in contact with water.
Okay.
Right.
So
that's it.
Just drunk or high all the time.
And that's what it felt like.
Had the munchies. Yeah. So it's crazy. You talk about misinformation, KD. No one knows exactly what happened with Colonial Pipeline. Now, the good news is Colonial Pipeline has been able to restart its operations. And according to federal officials, the gas supply should normalize by the end of this weekend.
Yeah.
So we should get back to normal and gas prices should go down or at least stop going up, which is a good thing.
Because they were going up even before this.
They were going
They've been going up the last 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
So actually with two presidents.
This just sort of expedited the process there. But dude, the misinformation, like Bloomberg reported that Colonial coughed up nearly $5 million last week to this criminal group.
Paid ransom.
And yeah, saying it was a paid
ransom.
But then there were other reports like the Washington Post and a couple of other outlets that said, no, they didn't actually pay the ransom. So we have no idea what happened. But apparently, according to one report, hackers received the payment, and they provided Colonial with a decrypting tool to restore its downed IT network and to get everything back to normal.
Unbelievable.
So $5 million was the ransom, and yeah, I mean, Bloomberg and I think a couple of other
people. So not $500 million.
No, just $5
million.
Okay. Still, though.
Feels low, dude.
That does feel low.
I mean, if you're hacking into the biggest oil pipeline in the U.S. of A., I feel like you're asking for more than $5 million. Like, if you're smart enough to do that, you should be able to get an extra zero or two on there, no?
I hope they catch them. That's going to be tough, but
that is going to be tough.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting.
But, man. I mean, dude, there's been stories of people filling up Ziploc bags with gasoline, like grocery bags
with
gasoline, obviously filling up the normal gasoline canisters and basically every gas-powered device that they have. People have just been loading up. When are we going to learn,
Styrofoam
guys?
Ice chest.
Ooh, styrofoam ice chest. I like that. Yeah, we got Yeti coolers out there just being filled up with gas. You put a few beers in there, too. I think that's a good combination for your next tailgate. But this happens so often.
Yeah, it does.
Gas shortages, and they're always resolved so quickly, and we just always over-freak out. I mean, the start of the pandemic last year, people were freaking out. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, COVID is going to infiltrate the gas nozzles, and we'll never be able to get gas in our cars again. Anytime we have, like, any sort of weather fear.
Mm-hmm.
Do we live in Austin? Anytime there's a hurricane hitting the coast, everybody gets gas.
Right.
And the lines are ridiculous. And the place runs out of gas. It's like, we're 3 hours away. We might get an inch of rain from this thing.
Yeah.
What do you need gas for rain?
Well, I think they may be worried about the hurricanes affecting that Houston area.
Yeah.
But it never happens.
No, I mean,
it never affects us to work. Like, the gas shortage happens because of the freak out, because of the panic. It doesn't happen because of
the
hurricane
exactly
itself.
Right.
So I wonder, like, when. Like, we know in Texas that this Colonial Pipeline issue is not affecting Texas. We do not have a fuel shortage in the state. And once again, this whole problem should be resolved by the end of the weekend, at least that's what officials are saying. Yet, I'm freaking out because I got to get gas tonight. I'm worried I'm going to have to wait like 20 minutes to get gas. I mean, every gas station is packed.
Are they really?
Around Central Texas.
Because, I mean,
right now.
I drive by a couple and I haven't seen them packed down.
Every single one that I've seen
Park
has been just ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
People just feeling off. He's right, though. I mean, same thing with toilet paper, right? There's never a toilet paper shortage, but whenever there is a disaster of any kind or any mass hysteria, people start buying toilet paper.
Yeah.
And then there's not available.
More? Are you going to have to crap more?
Yeah.
Because of a pandemic?
I think it's what it makes them do. I think they just get scared. And when you get scared, I guess that's what you do.
Blows my mind. So a bizarre story. I mean, you've got hackers hacking into oil pipeline IT services. You've got potential $5 million ransoms being paid out. I don't know if we have all the details here, but this is already wild, guys. I mean, hacking scares the hell out of me. It should scare the hell out of everybody.
Yeah. Trey on his Books on Pod has a guest. I need to go back and listen to it, but kind of gets into that, how that's going to be the future. And
future?
Well, I mean,
it's now.
I understand, but I mean, the author's talking about how in the future that thing's really going to take on a different life of its own.
Cyber warfare?
Yes.
Yeah. No, it's like dipping down.
In fact, talk about the future. I think it says that's how the world's going to end.
Hmm.
So he went hardcore.
That is very hardcore. I don't want to listen to that, actually.
I
like
do.
Dippin' Dots, the ice cream of the future, even though it's been around for years. That's cyber hacking right there. It's been around for years, but it's the future, man. So there you go. Random off-the-record story. We'll take your thoughts. 337.
Somewhere Jimmy Carter smiling. That little Jimmy Carter. Do you guys see the picture of that?
With
the old president.
Yeah,
Jimmy
was creepy.
Jimmy Carter had some problems in the 70s with that.
That was creepy.
We'll try to get Jimmy on the show.
I'd love
to discuss What's he push? He's got to be pushing triple digits, dude.
He is, but that picture freaked out a lot of people.
It was freaky, though.
But that's obviously the way they...
It's just the angle.
Exactly.
And the camera.
Right.
But it was freaky, though. It looked weird.
Check it out.
I don't think I've seen that, so I will during this break. All right, when we return, we'll return to sports. We'll talk about the NFL schedule release. We'll dissect the Cowboys and Texans 2021 campaigns next.